Okay, there we go. Recording. Welcome, everyone. This is the Human to Human podcast. I am host Tennyson Wolfe, and I am joining today with a friend from a few years back, Amaha Selassie. And you can check that a little bit when you jump your voice in here, Amaha. But I'm really excited to say hello to you in this context of recording and being able to update our friendship a little bit together and update our colleagueship together a little bit. This Human to Human podcast is something that I just started experimenting with a few years back because I wanted to have conversations of learning and connection with some of the people that I care about and that I'm encountering in the world. You're one of those folks. I'm glad that we get to spend a little bit of time together. Welcome, Amaha.
Good day. No, I'm excited to be here, you know, and even just the name alone of Human to Human, you know, there's like really captures me, you know, because I think like that's what it's all about, for distilling it down to the essence, right? So having the courage to just name it that and create that type of space and container where we're learning how to be human together, you know what I mean, is a great thing, you know. So thankful to be here.
I appreciate that appreciation. And will you say a little bit more, how does that theme show up for the person that you are and the places that you travel to in the world, Amaha?
Sure. You know, I think this whole quest right now, you know, for me, is for how to understand my full humanity and how to live into it and how to honor the dignity and worth of every human being, you know, like, because I feel that, like, you know, we're kind of at this turning point, right, where, you know, King will say chaos or community, and I will just say, do we maintain the status quo, or do we actually make the social choice, right, to cross over and live into what it means to be human, you know what I mean, and what it means to acknowledge the humanity of others, you know, like an African philosophy will say Ubuntu, you know, I am because you are, that, you know, that my future is tied to your future, you know, and so, you know, I've just been trying to learn, you know, how to be a better friend, how to understand and live into my interdependence with others, right? And how to build cooperatives, right? Because I think part of like once we identify what is like this shared future we're trying to live into, and not like down into distilled all the details, but like, you know what, this is our North Star. This is like, you know, like we're leaving this, we're leaving to kind of build into this alternative, right? And then we need, you know, we need an economy that can support it, right? Like we need infrastructure and we need all these things, right? And so like how we are intentionally building this shared future together.
How is it that you think we got off of this narrative? And the we is, I don't even know what scale here, Amaha.
Yeah, some, yeah, no, that's
broad
real.
Humanity.
You know, like, I would say on a human scale, I think part of what I feel my calling is to, like, what is some of these underlying assumptions and thoughts that is, like, governing reality and shaping how we're building things in the world, you know, which it sounds kind of heady, but it's like, for me, I think it was like when humans made a shift from just seeing each other as, you know, we can have different cultures and different tribes and all these things. But when it came to this like hierarchy of like, you know, you're this type of human, so you are lesser than this type of human. You know what I mean? It feels like we've kind of left the mark. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we are, you know, a species as human beings, you know what I mean, on this planet Earth, you know what I mean, amongst other species, you know? And so I think like that othering that comes from that is like the key to, you know, exploitation. It's the key to, you know, fear and all of these things, I think, like, is rooted in this lack of acknowledging of our interconnectedness, you know? And so, like, you know, right now, I'm really just questioning what are some of the governing thoughts that we're basing everything on, you know, that like we just assume it to be right, and so we just keep building off it without ever questioning it and challenging it. And it's like, yo, like what does world look like when we acknowledge the interdependence as like the structure of reality? You know what I mean? It's like it sounds great, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of people would love to live in an independent world, but to know that that's actually what the reality is. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a social, the social choice is to live into what already is, you know what I mean? Or to stay apart from it, right? But the fact that like, you know, we're not inventing something, you know what I mean? We're kind of just like stepping into what's already there, I think is like one of the key points in this hour, and the social choice, you know what I mean? Like because we truly are at this, you know, the beginning of a new epoch or a beginning of a new period of time, you know what I mean? And we have the power right now to make the social choice of like how we want to step into this next chapter, you know what I mean? Yeah,
that's beautiful. Hey, Amaha, in your activism, what do you find is hard? And what do you find is something that you just love?
Maybe patience. I'm actually a very patient person, you know, but you know, I was in a group chat with a international organization today that like has all these fractions, and I wrote in there, I'm like, I don't get it. Like what is the aim of all of this, you know what I mean? And so it's patience of like, you know, I don't want to move ahead of where humanity is, you know what I mean? Right. I want to walk with where we are as we're building what we can become together, you know? And so it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like, it reminds me of like Rodney King. Like, why can't we all just get along? You know what I mean? It's like, what is hindering us? You know what I mean? Because there's really no external force that is hindering us from coming together, you know? It really is the social choice of how we want to acknowledge and see each other. So I would say like the patience, patience is something that I'm working on, even though I'm a pretty patient person, was kind of maybe it's a paradox. Thing that brings me joy is just like finding how much like acknowledging love, acknowledging interdependence, resonates with so many people. You know what I mean? Like, you know, by the grace of the Most High, you know, I travel all over the place, man. And everywhere I'm speaking, it's like, people are resonating with it. You know what I mean? Like something deep inside of them, you know? And so like, to me, it's like how we bring out the boldness to claim what we know inside. And from that, like change the status quo. You know what I mean? So that's something I'm growing in myself. Like even like the notion of beloved community, I've pursued it for years, but like, can I say that? Can like, you know what I mean? But now like, yeah, like, no, this is what it is. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I just want to acknowledge what the reality is, you know, as far as like our underlying nature, you know what I mean? And that we can press into it together, you know what I mean? And so it's like, yeah, just like, so, but I think like the seeing how many people are ready to reimagine how we see ourselves and see each other, that brings me like a great joy.
Yeah. Amaha, in your background, is there a particular story that woke you up as the activist person that you are?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot, right? But the one that really sticks out to me was when I was working at my aunt's gas station. And let me give you a little backstory, and then I'll talk about that moment, right? So I had been in the community, man, probably about 10 years or so.
And let's talk where. Name the where here, too.
Okay. In Dayton, Ohio. Yeah, sorry. I'm in Dayton, Ohio. And so I was in Dayton. And I was in the community talking about love and forgiveness, right? Because I just knew that we were greater than what we were appearing to be. And like, I would see different parts of the community doing amazing things. Like, man, if we would just like come together, like I didn't have like language around GIFs back then or any of this stuff. You know what I mean? This is like 2000, mm-hmm. this is like 98 to 99 or so that, you know what I mean? So it's like, but it was just like this notion that I knew we were greater and mm-hmm. that like forgiveness was the key, that we needed to find a space where we could forgive one another, right? That we could then be able to work together in some kind of way. I didn't have any of the language that I have now, like to frame mm-hmm. it, you know? And so I talked a lot about agape love, you know what I mean? Everywhere I was going, there's about this agape love, this unconditional love, right? And how like I saw that as being like the answer to a lot of problems in our community. Okay, so probably about, I don't know, 2009 or 10, I'm working at my aunt's gas station and I'm reading Martin Luther King's first book called A Stride Towards Freedom. And in there, he says, agape love is community. And like, I just like, wait a minute, wait, agape love is community. I thought like, how's he connect these two things together? Right. And so I was like, okay, he's coming from a Christian perspective, right? So Christ is many members in one body. And so then when I started understanding that, like, you know, from a Christian perspective, Christ is community, and then this member is one body. So I was like, oh, so you mean this whole time I've been talking about agape love, I was actually talking about community. And that's when the lights went off. I was like, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? So then it was like, anything I could study about community, you know, I was hungry. Like I would attend any seminar, I would read any book, anything that I could find that talked about community. You know, I mean, I changed my major to sociology. You know what I mean? It was like anything I could do to understand community. I was like, okay, now I'm understanding what this thing I was doing all along that I had no clue, but it was just like, I just kept talking about love, right? And so, I think like, That was my turning point, you know what I mean? To like, to ground love inside of community. Yeah.
And wait, this is at the gas station that you realized?
Yeah. This is at my aunt's gas station. Yeah, Starfire, you know?
So you were thinking, you were reflecting, and this is what was coming to you.
Yeah. I don't even know it was that deep. You know what I mean? I was just reading the book, you know what I mean? And then like, I was just struck because I was like, I was talking so much about agape love.
Yeah.
And it was almost like in a vacuum, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like he connects these two words together, agape love and community. And I was like, wait a minute, like how are these things connected and what is he talking about? And the more I started pondering that connection, I started understanding and situating myself inside of the work that I was doing. And I was like, oh, so this whole time I've been talking about community, never using the word community. It was like, I was just talking about love, but like, in a sense, that's what I was doing. So then it was like, okay. So then I started this, my quest was like, how to live into community. You know what I mean? Like what is community, you know? How do we live into it together? You know? And it just started taking me down these rabbit holes that kind of got me doing the work that I'm doing today.
Yeah, some good rabbit holes then.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, when you say forgiveness is the key, I imagine that there are a few layers that go into that. Can you share a little bit about some of those layers?
Yeah, you know, I'm still trying to understand forgiveness myself. You know, I think it's a lifelong journey, right? But it's like, how do we repair the bridges or damages that happen either on a personal level, even to like community or identity level, you know what I mean? Mm. You know, so like King will talk about that forgiveness is the only power that can turn an enemy into a friend, you know? And so it's like, there's something in this notion of forgiveness that can like repair a breach or repair something that we can leverage the gifts, you know, because like I'm convinced that like we used to look at opportunity as being inside of structure, you know, like being inside of the arrangement of resources, right? Which I think opportunity is there, right? But I'm also now understanding that opportunity is in the bringing together of gifts, because when we bring our gifts together, that process itself co-creates opportunity. It co-creates the space for something to emerge, right? So we have the power to create our own wind in the community, to create our own thing as we're bringing our gifts together. And what hinders bringing the gifts together is trust. And oftentimes that trust is for is there's some type of forgiveness that is like
the not trust part of that is what you're
right saying. Right, the not trust is not right trusting. Is where the forgiveness needs to come in, right? Yeah. And like I've heard it say that like forgiveness isn't necessarily about like forgetting the harm, but it's not allowing the harm to hinder our ability to move forward together. You know, and so like especially you probably way more versed than I am. Who is the South African priest? His name slips my mind all of a sudden.
Desmond Tutu.
Desmond Tutu. Yeah, when he talks about like so he frames Ubuntu and forgiveness together, right? Like this whole process of like how we have the social choice, you know, and. You know, from a lot of spiritual traditions, you know, I think it's like our level of grace, our level of unconditional love, our level of being able to find ways to forgive one another, and there's a spectrum probably of forgiveness, right? Is the key to our social connectivity. You know what I mean? And like that's what empowers communities. Like, you know, the strength of a community is by the strength of the connection, you know what I mean? And so it's like, so they all kind of play together in some kind of way. And I don't fully understand it yet, but I know there's like a dance between those, you know, so.
Yeah, thank you. What are you learning these days about how to create such connections?
Great question. I would say, I'm going deeper into action research right now. So I'm a public sociologist, right? And so I've been going deeper into action research. And the dialogues that we're having, I'm starting to understand that like the dialogues are a way that the community is sharing its experience and its wisdom. And while we're in these gatherings, it's almost like we're developing our praxis, you know, like how can we actually like live into this community more? How can we step deeper into our collective liberation?
You're asking these kinds of questions to be in dialogue about. Yeah.
Actually, I'm not like that. And that's the interesting part. Like, I'm not in dialogue and asking like, okay, how do we collective liberation? You know, we had a meeting about a month or so ago. And it was about like, how do we identify our food system and like from a people's perspective, how are people experiencing the food system? And then we started going off on topics of how like traditional Black ways of farming is different than traditional white ways of farming and all these things. And then in the process, it was like, we're developing our praxis. It was like, man, like I'm just hearing all this wisdom that's coming out that's partly had nothing to do with the topic of why we were meeting. But at the same time, I'm distilling it. I'm like, man, like we literally are developing our practices of like what is our way forward? How we can be in community and relationship together as we're moving forward, right? So I guess like I'm just seeing like the relationship between study circles and dialogue as a way to like develop our people's knowledge, you know what I mean? Like our people's wisdom that can then carry us forward into greater levels of connectivity, community, deeper levels, you know what I mean? So with it grounds the notion that we need to listen, you know what I mean? That like the power of listening inside a community and how important that is, you know?
When you see, Amaha, when you see a greater connection, how do you recognize it? What do you notice? What do you see? What does it feel like?
Well, I love your questions. I want to say, I think it's like experiencing a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. You know, a sense of I can be who I actually am. You know. A sense of not trying to have to prove or do anything, but I can just be because I have a level of acceptance amongst others, you know what I mean, that accept me as I am with all my quirks, with all my whatever, you know? And that's actually contagious, right? Because I think like when we look at social media and all these things, it's almost like, you know, it's a technology, it's a tool that can be used in many ways, right? But I think like there's this culture of like having to like be who we're not in order to try to like gain acceptance or gain inside the thing, instead of like just being able to like, oh, you know what, you have that, I have that too, you know what I mean, or whatever, like this sense of like, how do we embrace each other in who we are authentically, you know what I mean, and that being enough, you know what I mean, and we can move forward, we can heal together, you know what I mean, because I think like another aspect of all this that we have not talked about is, you know, how, you know, connecting movement work with healing work and how like they go together, because part I think of developing that connection is the more that we're able to heal ourselves individually and collectively, and creating a space of healing where we're on this journey together towards our individual and collective healing, you know, and part of that process seems to be emerging a greater sense of our humanity, you know, because on some level I really do think that we have to challenge this notion of like what we consider, how we understand our humanness, right? Like because I think like underlyingly we have the sense that like we're individuals that are human instead of like human as a social body, you know, and that we have a social self, you know, and so like how do we live into the acknowledgement of that, you know, and we're seeing examples all over
of the social self is what you're saying, right? Because that's what's been neglected.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And so like I think we're coming more to an acknowledgement of the social self or the social body, you know what I mean? Like how do we look on a macro level together? You know what I mean? If you're looking from outer space, you know what I mean? You just see all these humans moving in a certain way, you know what I mean? And that's a structure too, you know what I mean? That is a set of relationships and all these things, you know what I mean? And so like, how do we acknowledge that social self? I think it's that key shift into a new paradigm, you know what I mean? And it's the dialogues that hold us in a new paradigm, you know what I mean? As we're like understanding what is, and we're building off of these shared agreements of the reality, right? Because like on some levels, I think right now we're at this point where like one of my elders, Dr. Nimhart, you know what I mean? I asked her a question a couple of days ago about like, how do we like it feels like we're at this line, you know? And like how do we cross over, you know? And then she framed it as like aspiration versus acceptance, you know what I mean? Like sometimes we'll be on the other side of a line talking about like aspiring, and then we can cross over to the acceptance of, yeah, actually like we're in this moment right now, you know what I mean? Like we had the power to like we've already crossed over, you know what I mean? And like how we're building our world off of this crossing over into, you know, accepting where we are, you know what I mean? Accepting even if we don't know how to put the pieces together, you know what I mean? That like, yo, like we're acknowledging our social self, right? We're acknowledging that like love is a high vibration to aspire to live into in some kind of way, and all these things, you know what I mean? So like, how do we hold and cross over?
And we are doing it now.
We're doing it, right? You know what I mean? So that's the acknowledgement, right? You know what I mean? Because so like on some levels, like when you just said that, what I saw was like we can have like there's a string tied to something, and like the string is going out because we're like, you know, and like, and we've crossed the line and we're out here, but we haven't like detached the string that has us tethered to what we was before. You know what I mean? It's like, no, like break that tether, man. Let's go out into the deep. You know what I mean? Because like there actually is safety in the deep. You know what I mean? There's actually like how do we just come into a different set of social agreements, you know what I mean? And you know, it sounds kind of wild, but when we talk, like, you know, people talk about world order and social order and all these things, right? And so like how are we building this new paradigm that has pro-human values, you know what I mean? Like why doesn't our education system focus on how to realize more of our humanity, you know what I mean? Like you know, like how do we, you know, use the environment in a way that like is sustainable for all? Like why are these things like niches and like instead of like, oh, the fundamental basis of like why we're doing these things? Because we acknowledge a different underlying assumption as like the root that we're building off of, you know what I mean? And so it's like, yeah, you know, it just feels like a time that has come, you know, and it's like, you know, it's up for each of us to like live into our deep beliefs, you know what I mean? Like boldly in this hour, you know, and to learn from each other, you know what I mean? So I feel like even like these dialogues like this is a way that we're harvesting our collective wisdom, right? And then it's like, how do we embody this, these things that we're coming into agreement about? Because I think like, you know, like there's a group of people on the earth who've made the commitment that, yeah, community is the answer. You know what I mean? But then we stop there. It's like, well, like inside, I believe this thing is there. And so, and that is a great step. I'm not, you know, like that's a huge step, right? Cause that's part of the pivot. You know what I mean? But then the next step in that pivot is, okay, now that we've agreed that community is the answer in some kind of way, how do we start embodying it? How do we start taking a step into the circle? You know what I mean? And even changing the structure from like the triangle to the circle, right? You know what I mean? And how we're living into this circle. We're taking tiny, tiny steps, right? And acknowledging that as each of us take a step, as each of us come to a different set of understanding and awareness and stepping more into light, or however you want to call it, it actually impacts and it helps shape the whole body, right? Oh, and so it's like, because that's part of the interconnectedness too, right? We're all taking, you know, we're all getting these minor victories, you know what I mean, that are being shared by all. So sometimes I'm like, you know what? There's people in China or Brazil or Zimbabwe, people I may never know, but they're right, making gains that I'm experiencing. You know what I mean? It's like they're stepping deeper into the space, you know?
They're stepping deeper in. Non-locally, you get to draft off of that in some way. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. 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 That's the power of the interconnectedness, you know?
Yeah. And maybe of the less linear, the not seen. There are energetics in play here that don't show up on all of our measuring devices, or the traditional measuring devices.
True. Mm-hmm. I say. Yeah. Cause I think probably that indigenous wisdom, you know what I mean? Like all the indigenous wisdom that's been pushed down is now like rising up to the surface.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, it was what's his name? Brian, was it Brian Stinson? The one that made the project down in Alabama, was it just called? I forget what it's called now, but you know, he talked about like to justify the racial hierarchy, right? All those narratives that were created to like create this sense of other and to like create like internalized superiority, internalized inferiority, all these things, right? Like how we're unlearning all these things, right? Together, you know what I mean? I don't know why I went there, but you said something that triggered it a minute ago.
Would you talk a little bit about Gem City and what's that got to do with the paradigm shift?
Yeah, sure. I just left there, matter of fact, right? So Gem City Market is our first co-op. We now have a couple other co-ops. We have a doula co-op and a makerspace and a couple other co-ops, can't think of them right now. But our first co-op, right, was the Gem City Market, which is a full-service grocery store, 15,000 square foot, 8,000 retail. We got a community kitchen, a health clinic, and a community room. And it was birthed out of dire necessity, right? So Dayton is hyper-segregated. We have a river that divides east and west. East is 94% white with Turkish, Latino, and African refugees. The west side is 98% African American. We know that redlining or segregation is the linchpin to all social inequality, right? Because social inequality is built into the spaces, right? Where you have concentrated advantage and concentrated disadvantage, right? So on the west side, the black side, we had 40,000 residents and no first service grocery store, right? So people had to take either two buses to get to a bus downtown, then a bus to Kroger's or Meijer's or Walmart, or they had to go to corner stores, you know? And that was like a 3-hour process, you know what I mean? So like, if I have a big family, do I take multiple people or do I, you know, take multiple trips a week and all these things, right? So the community came together to be the answer to our own situation, right? Like to build our collective hope, you know, that, yeah, you know, change is possible, and that together we can do it. That's why, you know, I believe that cooperation is like a moral force, right, for human development, you know? And so one of the things that I think was key to like building this market was participation, right? Because in areas that's been intentionally underdeveloped for years, you know, we've been overpromised and underdelivered, right? Which creates this sense of trauma, you know? And so like part of our goal was, how do we create ownership? You know, because co-ops are owned by a group of people. So how do we create an ownership culture? And for us, it was like, how do we transform recipients in the community to co-creators, right? How do we build this together? How do we leverage our collective voice, right? And so one of the things we did early was we changed the language, because at that point, people were talking about food deserts, right? But deserts imply a natural phenomenon. So we changed the language to food apartheid, because we wanted to acknowledge that like this was by human design. Like somebody imagined this, right? Like they imagined, you know, redlining, that like, oh, if it's Black, don't invest, and all these things, right? And so we wanted the community to see that like, if we are living inside of a product that was imagined, we as a community have the power to reimagine it. Right. And so it was the key of like how we awaken the sense of agency that, yo, we have gifts and talents, and we can bring these gifts and talents together to transform our lived environment, you know? And so so that was a continuous process. Right. And so participation was key to us, you know, from the naming of the market to our mission statement. We had 200 people in a room that made the mission statement together, you know, architectural design, yeah, you know, all these things.
So how did you come up with the name Gem City? You said it was significant.
Okay, so Gem City is what the city's been called. I think it's in relation to Cincinnati, right? So Cincinnati is known as like the Queen City, mm-hmm, right? And then Gem City is like, oh, we were supposed to be a gem inside of that Cincinnati's thing eventually. But like the Gem City thing stuck, you know what I mean? So like initially we went like Fresh came up a lot, but we don't want to be like Fresh Time or whatever, you know, but like it's so it ended up just like, you know, Gem City Market was kind of like bubbled up to the top after like those multiple rounds of like trying to figure out and piece together.
Right.
It was funny. So we had a room, and like, so everybody submitted all these things, and we had this room, and we put all the submissions on the wall, right, and then we started like piecing them together, and then we put it back out to the community. Okay, this is what we heard from what we got, right? Yeah. This makes sense. And then it was like this dialogical thing going back and forth, right? Then we ended up at Gem City Market.
Amaha, you are, in one of the ways that I know you, you are a person who speaks of love and spirit. How did you come to be the person that you are, that invokes and leads with such such energy, love and spirit?
I say, it's definitely by grace, first and foremost, you know what I mean? Like, because sometimes I thank the Most High for the heart that's been given to me, because like I know like this heart, like there's no way my heart could have been of my own cognizance or something like that, you know? And, you know, like, I think I've always, to a certain extent, like, had this dream of, like, how to help the community, you know what I mean? Like, even if it was like, okay, I want to be rich and famous so I can open up a community center or something, you know what I mean? At, like, different stages of my life, you know what I mean? And so, probably the biggest turning point to me was when the Most High revealed to me that there was an existence outside of myself, you know, or outside of like human realm, you know, and for whatever reason, and this is why I contributed purely to grace, it was like, so if there is something beyond me, then there's got to be some kind of way I can surrender to it. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that looked like, you know, but like just that itself, like, set me off on a quest that, you know, has taken me down all these rabbit holes all these years, you know. And I, you know, I'm a big reader of the Bible. And so like I started reading the Bible, and I would see such and such man of God, such and such man of God. And then like it would say like, oh, rises up early in the morning. So then I would rise up early in the morning. Like I tried to imagine like what it meant. You know what I mean? And I thought at some point, you know, I didn't know the Bible at all, right? So I would look through, and like I thought there'd be a page that'll say like these are the 10 steps to be like that or something. And it never happened, right? So then I started just imagining like how would I live amongst people? How would I move? How would my day be structured if I was trying to be this thing, if I was trying to be someone who surrendered to the will of the Most High, right? And so it was like the power of like imagination and then like trying to practice of like how to like embody that imagination. I think that like, you know, kind of settled me on the journey. And one thing that I think I will say that like that I'm thankful for, and I don't say this in a way of like dismissing or not acknowledging, so I want to take it in the spirit that I'm saying this, right? That like, I was around people, and I probably still am to certain at different points in my life, that were real big on head knowledge. You know, like they wanted to know like what this is and what that is, and they'll pull out their books and they'll, you know what I mean? And all that is great. But for some reason, like none of that stuff like meant anything to me. Like I was searching for how to give my life to something greater. Like I, all the other stuff didn't like have a high priority for me. And I think that was the shift, you know what I mean? Because it was like, I didn't have the word embodiment at the time or praxis or anything like that, but I was seeking to be something and not just know something, you know? And like that little distinction over time sets you on a different trajectory, you know? Like one of my elders one day, which is probably another pivotal moment in my life, you know, we were going from Dayton to Columbus, Columbus to Cincinnati and back to Dayton. So like, you know, Dayton to Columbus is about an hour ride. Columbus, Cincinnati, about 2 hour ride, then back to Dayton every Sunday, trying to organize these three communities, right? So we would go to them and, you know, we would agree, okay, this is what we're going to do, right? And then we would come back next week. Nothing happened, like not one inch of movement. And we'd be like, okay, no problem. You know what I mean? We would come together again. We would talk, we agree on what we're going to do. And then nothing happened again. And then one day we're driving home from Cincinnati and I was getting frustrated. And I was like, man, like, why are we giving all of our Sundays if people don't want to do this work? I like, that's fine if people don't want to do it. And then he turned around. He was like, brother, how bright is your light shining? And that just shut me up. You know what I mean? Because I realized that it's like, I'm trying to invite people into a space that I'm not fully living in myself, right? So how am I going to be the invitation? How am I going to be the thermostat and not the thermometer, right? And so like it's like, yo, I got to embody this thing, man. I got to invite people to the spaces that I'm trying to create. You know what I mean? They need to see the distinction. They need to see the fragrance that comes from it, because if they're not seeing these things, then of course they're not going to move. You know what I mean? And so like that just shifted my whole thing of like, yeah, we got to try to live out these answers that we say are the answers that we'll know the truth of if it actually can happen and be and this, that, and the other.
Amaha, what is the most simple step you can recommend in the spirit of adding healing in the world?
Ooh, the most simple step. Oh my gosh. I'm going to say slowing down. Mm. You know, and understanding that like how we show up is important to the results we're trying to get. Mm. And if you don't slow down and see how, like, during COVID, it struck me that, like, I was trying to, like, help a lot of people and do all these things. But at some point, I was like, you know what? Like, if Ubuntu exists, then, like, actually, like, I matter too. You know what I mean? And, like, I never saw that before, you know? And I'm still working on it. Like those that listen to this that know me well, they're like, yeah, you do not practice self-care enough yet, right? So it's a journey. You know what I mean? But I think it's, like, the more that we realize that, like, we can create more impact the more that we are healed, you know, and then being able to show up in spaces healed, that like as we're building this new world, we're not adding our trauma and our things inside of these structures that we're building, because we're coming at it from a space of more wholeness, you know what I mean, than deficit, you know? And so I think slowing down and realizing the importance of healing, and there's no shame in acknowledging that, like, yo, we've learned so much that is contrary to what our nature actually is, that like we're all on a healing journey, you know, different aspects, different things we may be healing from, you know what I mean? But like just normalizing the fact that, yo, we need healing and we need each other. You know what I mean? That's why I appreciate, you know, Darcille so much, because, you know, she mentions that often, right? Like this notion that, like, you know, part of our healing is by being in community with one another.
Beautiful. If we go back to the very beginning, in the spirit of tucking in the end of this now, the framing that is human to human, trying to be good humans together, are there any kind of closing thoughts or encouragements that you wish to share?
Wow. I think, like, how do we live real in a real time? You know, like when seasons change, when it's wintertime, we put on a coat. When it's summertime, we, you know, and it's like, there's a lot of talk about like, oh, there's a shift and there's a turning and we're feeling something we don't fully understand. You know what I mean? But then how do we then use that insight to then shape how we show up in the world? How we wake up in the morning, how do we conduct our day, you know? And that's what I think is part of that crossing over that line, right? Where we have a different set of questions that we're trying to understand and solve and live together, acknowledging that we're already in something different, you know? And so to me, like that and the power of social choice, you know, that like we can choose to live in hate, or we can choose to be grounded in love. You know, we can choose to live in fear, or we can choose to acknowledge the dignity and worth of all human beings. You know, it's like we have the power to choose, right? And I think we underestimate our power, because even structures are based upon human interactions, right? So how are we building this human ecosystem, this human structure, right? By grounding ourselves and acknowledging our fundamental equality, you know what I mean? And the dignity that we all have, in seeking to build structures that acknowledge the dignity, not because we say, oh, we believe in your dignity, but the structures themselves proclaim it. You know, they proclaim a space of belonging and all of these things, you know what I mean? And so it's a great time to be alive, you know what I mean? And I know there's chaos on the world. I'm not like, you know, not acknowledging that, this, that, another. But when you look, even the chaos actually is creating more of a sense of belonging, because it's like, yo, like this is not working. You know what I mean? Like the structure is on quicksand and we can see it crumbling all around. And so now it's like that structure was imagined. And so like, how are we going to step into this new stage, this new way? It's not even new way, it's an old way, right? You know, so like, how are we moving back to the ancient in a modern time?
Amaha, I am so glad to reconnect with you. There is a friendship that I appreciate here. There's a colleagueship. I think there's a depth of spirit or a depth of heart. I have memories of some of our very specific circumstances of being out together and reflecting a bit together and really coming to see some of the deeper things too.
Yeah.
This time together today just feels like a reconnection in all of that. I so appreciate this friendship and getting a chance to share what you're up to in the world and how that connects.
I say, yeah, I'm thankful to it. You know, like we've had some great experiences together. I've learned a lot from you. You know what I mean? And I'm thankful for our connection and our friendship. And one thing I just thought about as you were talking is, you know, like I think right now, like how do we grow the heart of humanity is part of the ultimate thing. You know what I mean? Like how are we growing our hearts and a level of compassion and empathy for one another? You know. And being there for one another, you know what I mean, during this season of transition, you know? And so, I'm thankful for the invitation and for this dialogue, you know, so I appreciate it.
Beautiful. I'm going to pause the recording. It's Tennyson back after having said a goodbye to Amaha. Boy, he is a man that I love and appreciate. And he was just reflecting a little bit more as we were saying goodbye, his appreciations for Circle, his appreciations for learning, and his encouragement to go boldly in the world. It's not a time to be shy about the things that we're naming and the invitations that we're making. I really loved being with Amaha today and listening to him share his learning and share his excitements. I've been in a few places with him now where we've been able to just really connect, not only in the words of that, but in the heart of that and in the silence of it too. So deep appreciation for him and his being and his activism in the world. Thanks for joining again today. This is Fire and Water, this is the Human to Human podcast. Fire and Water is one of the ways that I met Amaha, actually. So I keep thinking of that. But this is the Human to Human podcast. I love to continue having these conversations with folks that I know and am coming to know with intent to bring out just a little bit more of that courage and clarity and aliveness that exists within us and among us also for the things that we're doing in the world. You can reach me further on my website, tennysonwolf.com. I look forward to the continued journey.